turns this morning to Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Our text is quite long, so you may be seated. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, excuse me, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. and the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear came upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall also bear unto thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have great joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be a great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, that standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day of these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people went, waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of the ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary rose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And he hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, No, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how that he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled at all, and they marveled all of them. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And now, if you've never been in a country like that, you wouldn't understand how that just something that took place privately would be noised abroad. But all you have to do is talk to Brother Peter and Sister Diane sometime about their stay in Ireland. And, you know, when they went down to the butcher shop the first time, the butcher, they knew all about them. It's just that the word, in small communities like that, the word gets around very, very fast. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, and the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the days of the showing unto Israel. And now chapter 2 we read, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a cry or a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, even on one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into the city of Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from heaven into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and they had seen, as it was told unto them. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we've read a lot of scripture this morning, but Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for having faithful witnesses such as Luke, who actually, after the fact, came into the message around Paul's time. And yet, Father, you gave him perfect understanding of the things that he could declare unto us. And we're sure that it was your hand that anointed him, his heart, Lord. Your hand guided his hand, your eyes, his eyes, your ears, his ears, your mouth, his mouth. And so, Father, we just thank you for these things. We thank you for the witness. We thank you for the testimony of the time in which your son Jesus was brought to earth and for a specific purpose. And so, Father, it is for this purpose this morning which we would like to talk to the people. And we ask that you would bless these thoughts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning, I would like to talk about the very purpose that God sent his son to the earth. What I have to say is probably going to be different than anything you've heard coming from anywhere, perhaps. But since this is Christmas today, I'd like to speak on the birth of Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God. And I'd like to speak on the significance to us as God's other children. So we're looking at the birth of the firstborn Son, but more importantly, its significance to us. Now, my objective for the sermon this morning is to examine the following. First of all, I would like to show that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brought forth as the very blood of God. Next, I would like to show how that in his DNA, he was very every attribute and every characteristic that made up who God is, intrinsically and essentially. I wish to show you that Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God, was so much the very expression of God himself, that in him also was essentially, intrinsically, all that God is. In other words, as Brother Branham said, not three persons, you know, he's talking to the Trinitarians, but he said the Father, the Son, they had the same personality. Now you say, well, how can two people have the same personality? Because one is so submissive to the other, that what the Father did, the Son did likewise. That's what Jesus' words were. Well, he said, my meat is to please thee. My meat is to do the will of my Father. Next, I would like to show that Jesus Christ was so much the express image of the Father that when he was here on earth, he did not come to express himself as a son, but rather to show us the Father. Remember, the people came to him and said, show us the Father. He said, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me. He said, the Father's in me. Then we will show that in him was the very life of the Father, and that life became the very light of men. Now, when you have life, you have the life of, say, Brother Brown said, if you have the life of Dillinger, you're going to do what Dillinger did. If you have the life of Mozart, you're going to do what Mozart did. If you have the life of God, you're going to express God. And that's what Jesus, the Son of God, did. He had the life of his Father. Then we will show you that we also become the very blood of God. We also become the very blood of God through the Spirit, the same life that dwelt in the Father and then in his firstborn Son. We become the very blood of God. I have a quote for that, so I wouldn't say it if I didn't. But we're actually not going to get that far into a sermon today. We're not even going to cover fully point number one. And finally, we'll examine how that we are to walk in the light as He, God, is in the light. Then when we do, we become one in light. Not one in the light, but one in light. And have oneness with God. And in walking in the light, as He is walking also in the light, we are not walking at our own pace, but rather we are walking in His footsteps. And thus, as we walk, He's walking. And as we walk with Him, we of course then would see what He sees, and we would hear what He hears. In other words, we become so in tune, we become so meshed together that it's no longer God and man, it's the God-man. It's deep. It's Messiah's. Therefore, we become the essentiality. We become that. We become the intrinsicality of Him who indwells us in the light. That means by our reflecting His very essence and nature, we become one with Him. Then we, as born again, new creations in Christ, experience life firsthand as God is experienced in and through us. This is the Christmas message to us. This is the reason Jesus was born in the flesh, so that we could also be born anew. Now, before we go any further, let's go back to paragraph 29 of Brother Branham's sermon, Rising of the Sun. And here he says, we as beneficiaries are to prove His life is in us. The beneficiaries of this life. The life. There never was a life lived like it. He was the Son of God. And He died, and that shut it out. But when He raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we, as His servants, are commissioned by Him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that He's a living. A living where? In us. That's what the good news is. And how can we do it? By word only? For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that He is alive. Now, Christmas is not all about giving of gifts. That may be the fun thing to do, if you can afford it. But there is no greater gift that you can give to another than the imparting of life. Eternal life. And we see the first Christmas was when God imparted His own life into His uniquely born firstborn Son. In John 5:26, we read, for as, and the word as is a present tense situation. Situation. As is a situation. Present tense. As the Father hath or echoes life in Himself, so has He given to the Son to echo life in Himself. So you see, the very first thing about Christmas is the echoing of life. And the bringing forth in another to echo that very life as well. That's what imparting life is all about. Now just think, God so loved His Son that He gave the Son the same life that was in the Father Himself. And as the Father echoed that life like an echocardiogram shows life is evident, so too the Father has given His Son Jesus that same life and the ability to echo in His own vessel the very eternal life that is resident in the Father. That's why Jesus, in John 17, He said, Father, restore unto me the glory, the doxa, the opinions, the values, and the judgments that I had with you before the foundations of the world. There's your echo. It's all in that glory. Now, from that day on Calvary, Brother Rasmussen, now watch, Jesus said, watch how He stated it. The works that I do, now He's doing them right now. The works that I'm doing now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, these works shall you all do also. You'll do these if you believe in me. You do these works, and then a greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Now notice He speaks of works and then the greater works, making a distinction between the two. A little while the world won't see me no more, yet you shall see me. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, and He'll send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, yet you can receive Him. Now notice, Brother Branham says, the greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, or to cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to others, to believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into a place to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and impart eternal life by giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers. Men who were once unbelievers, who were made believers, and impart spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to this sick woman laying here, I can pray a prayer of faith and she'll be healed. That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But he said, greater than this shall you do, because I'm giving to you power, not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? So Brother Branham is letting us know John 14:12 is all about not only by prayer, because remember, verse 13 says, whatsoever you ask, I'll do it. But it's also to impart eternal life. Think about that. The very purpose of God bringing forth His Son into a created life form was to bring other sons to life. It just didn't end with the birth of His firstborn. That was the beginning. Therefore, the very purpose of Christmas was to give the gift of life. You can look the world over, high and low, and when you see a real mother, she's not so interested in the things that she can give her little children, but one thing, and that is herself. A real mother's gift to her child is not things. A real mother's gift to her child is herself. Her life. Her energy. Her care. Her love. Then if she has the means, she will begin to give other gifts to her children, whatever she can afford. From greatest gift in the Bible, Brother Brown said, and I said this afternoon, that I wanted to speak on the greatest gift in the Bible. And how many in the audience this afternoon could think of any greater gift than God could give to the man eternal life? There is not one gift that could be given greater than life. Life is the sublime gift. It is the greatest of all gifts, for where there is life, there is joy, and God alone has eternal life. But take note, sometimes in traveling the world you see women who have barely clothes on their back, but whether they have worldly things or not, they want to spend quality time with their children and love them and give themselves to them in such a way as to bond eternally with their little ones. And God said there is no greater gift that a man can give than to lay down his life for another. So we're looking at the first Christmas when God gave Jesus Christ, His firstborn Son, the greatest thing that He could give Him, and that was the gift of eternal life. His very own life to indwell His firstborn Son. And He did this so that His firstborn Son could bring other sons to life. Because remember, when God was predestinating you and foreordaining you to the adoption of children in Ephesians 1, 3-4, over in Revelation chapter 13 and 8, His son Jesus, the firstborn, was given His role as the bleeding, dying Lamb of God before the foundations of the world. From questions and answers, contrary to doctrine, Brother Brown said, and then God became material in a man called Jesus Christ, which was His son. The son gave His life that He might bring other sons, that God might become tangible, working in all in all. In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Oh, brother, that'll be a real day. You won't have to drive over from Birmingham to hear the message. The message will be right with us then, won't it? Oh, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful time. We're looking for that day. God hastened it to come. That great city setting there, now see, it will not, now you think, well, 1,500 miles high, that's what the Bible said. Now, it will not be 1,500 miles straight up like that. See? We have another geographic measurement that all sides are equal. That's a pyramid. See? And the city will start probably about a 60 degrees. And if it starts 1,500 miles on that, just think how high that will be. But how long will it take to be there? You'll hardly know that you're walking up that hill. For 1,500 miles high at a 60 degrees, you're just about like this, and you know, like like that. See, and the city on all this hill, and it's just as high as it is long. It's just as long as high. The height by the depth by the breadth is equal. All the walls are equal. A pyramid has four walls, and those four walls will be equal. Now, from a greater than Solomon is here, Brother Brown said, Jesus was God's love gift to the church, and the church is God's love gift to Jesus. As I've said many times, that Jesus Christ died for you, that you might live. And now our gift back is that we might live, or that we might die to self, that he might live again in us. All right. Now, Brother Brown continues, says, God so loved the world that he gave. See, all the Father has given me will come. See? So it's a love affair. From Zechariah 8 and 8 we read, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the city in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in right wiseness. In other words, a life that's right. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So as we're walking in the light, it doesn't say as he is the light. It says as he is in the light. Then who's walking in whom? My tabernacle also shall be with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You're walking in the light because he's in you, walking. He's in you, seeing. He's in you, hearing. Hallelujah. This is the Christmas message. Ezekiel 11:20. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 32 and 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 31 and 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 24 and 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Oh, brothers and sisters. Do you see what we have to look forward to? And this is not speaking of down the road. It's already began as we begin to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have already began to walk with him, and we see what he's seeing, and we hear what he's hearing. And notice, he's also seeing what we're seeing, and he's hearing what we're hearing because he's walking in us. And we experience what he experiences, and he's experiencing what we experience. Because not only are we walking in the light as he's in the light, but he's living in us and seeing the world through our eyes, and yet we are perceiving all things through the eyes of his understanding because we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. From the spoken word is original seed. Brother Branham said, that's the reason that God could work his works through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago, that we said in Genesis 1 and 1, spoke of a while ago. He was right then predestinated to take his place. Amen. That's the reason, the will of the Father, he did. He was the Word made manifest. And every one of the other sons will have the same, what? Can you all say it together? Manifestation. And that's the ones that was predestined. John 14, 12. They will have the same manifestation. That's thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say, Brother Branham? Notice that, and every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the ones that was predestinated. So, how can you have the same manifestation unless you have the same life, the same nature, the same essentiality, the same intrinsicality living in you, breathing in you? Hallelujah. For he is our breath, the Bible says. He is our life, our breath, our being. So much for the one man doing the works of Christ, when all sons will manifest the same manifestation, the same life, the same nature. Because by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. One body. One body. One body. And please never forget. One body. That's the Christmas message this morning. Every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation, and that's the ones that was predestinated. Why? Because it's the same life. It's the same life. It's the same nature. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So if he's seeing, you're seeing. If he's hearing, you're hearing. If he's walking in the light, you're walking in the light. As he is in this world, so are you. Hallelujah. You see how it's coming down? Brother Brown said we're going to know who we are one day. And when we do, we're going to go. From communion, Brother Brown said, what is his body? What is the body of Christ? It's the body of believers that's associated with him in the Holy Spirit. Not an idol, not a piece of bread, but a spirit that's in the heart of the believer. And they are associated together that when a man and God can talk to each other, sons and daughters of God, mortal man, through the shedding of the blood, brought remission of sins, and this man and this woman, boy or girl, that has fellowship with Christ, is communing with him, the body. That's why when Brother Branham spoke of John 14:12, and he said, the body. People didn't understand what he was saying. They said, no, one man. It's got to be just one man. No, the body. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. It's not you versus you, or you know, it's one body. From the true Easter seal, he said, the seal of Pentecost is a believer's credentials that he's passed from death unto life because he has received the Pentecostal blessing, God's Easter seal to his son. He sealed his first son with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? That's true. And he sealed all of his other sons with the Holy Ghost, and I'll say with the same Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't get one Holy Ghost and you get a different Holy Ghost. William Branham didn't have one Holy Ghost and you got a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost, just different manifestations, that's all. Because, I mean, you know, we don't have the gift of, sign of Messiah. But the same God will use your hands to heal. He'll use your mouth to impart life. He'll use your actions and your life to impart life. No different. Not another Holy Ghost. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. From the mighty God unveiled. He said, now notice, Paul said here, changing from glory to glory. He's talking about 2 Corinthians 3:18. You see, finally it comes back to its original glory. It's just like a seed of the morning glory, the seed of the flower. It falls into the ground. The seed of the corn falls into the ground. What's the first thing? It comes up and it's a little sprout. Then it goes to a tassel. Then from the tassel back to its original grain. Well, that's exactly what the church has done. It's come from Luther and Wesley and now back to the original grain, back to its original glory, back to the glory it was at the beginning. The sun that rose in the east is the same sun that's manifesting the same thing in the west, changing from glory to glory. It changed from the pagan down into Luther, and from Luther into Wesley, from Wesley out into Pentecost, and on, changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna. And now it's right to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that come down on the day of Pentecost, is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today. Amen. From glory to glory to glory and back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same signs, the same wonders, the same baptism, the same kind of people acting the same way, with the same power, the same sensation. It's from glory unto glory, and the next will be changed from this glory into a body like his own glorious body, where we shall see him. And Abraham saw the same. Hallelujah. The same, the same, the same, the same, the same. Now from the message to way back, Brother Ramsey, the Word of God spoke that he would do it. Didn't the same Holy Ghost said, these signs shall follow them that believe? How in the world are we going to get away from it if you have it, if you're an atheist? So the same Holy Spirit that was in the believers in the book of Acts is the same Holy Spirit that's in the church today. Be not afraid, he said, but this is my ministry, that he gives me a gift. And that gift is to shake the church, to bring it to the recognition of the coming of Christ, the return of the Spirit of God in the church, that's the parousia of Christ. It's on you, that's your appearing and coming. It's on you, the same Spirit. It might not be the same gift, but the same Spirit. There's different manifestation, but the same Spirit all the time. The same Holy Ghost that you got is the same Holy Ghost I got. The same Holy Ghost we all got is all the children of God. That is what the Christmas message is all about. He came to impart life, His own life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God came down and imparted life into a son and then into sons. In Hebrews 2 and 10 we read, for it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Many sons unto doxa. To the same opinions and values and judgments of God, imparting life, the greatest gift of all is to impart life, and that is the Christmas message. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, oh, and a couple nights later, after I get through with this, I want to bring him down on Mount Transfiguration and show what God did to him there, the placing of his son. Watch how he takes other sons out and does the same thing. Oh my, what great riches is in this Bible. Quit reading the old funny stories and looking at the old no good television programs and get back to church, get back to praying. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, so then God confirmed it with him. And we went through that last night, the beautiful order of confirmation, and how in the Orient, and how God tore Christ apart, and taken his body up to his right side, his right hand rather, and sent down the Holy Spirit upon the church to anoint other sons and daughters of God. Notice, with the same Spirit. And that same Spirit that was on Christ is in the church now. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Imparting of life. The greatest gift is to impart life, and that is the Christmas message. God sent His firstborn Son into the world and imparted His own life into Him, and then took Him to the cross to shed His blood, that He might take that same Spirit, that same life that was in Him, and impart that in others, sons and daughters. Now listen, you may not have a worldwide ministry. You may not have a ministry behind a pulpit to address other people, many people, but you all have a life that comes in contact with other children, children of God. Sometimes your own children, sometimes your grandchildren. You have been placed here on earth. The same Holy Ghost that was imparting life through the Son of God is the same Holy Ghost that will impart life to your children. But you can't do it if you're not with them. It doesn't come from just praying. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Do this, Lord, do this. No, He wants you to do it. We read last week, a couple weeks ago, Brother Brown said, there's a change in my ministry. I forget the incident, but he said, he was standing there and this person was dying. And he said, Lord, what would you have your servant to do? And the Lord said, I'm waiting on you to do. I'm waiting. I want to see what you're going to do. God is waiting on you. You say, well, if you don't give me a vision, He's got a whole book here. A whole book. And when a situation comes up in your life and something quickens you to it, it says, that's in the Bible. And you look it up and you see the same scene, the same characters. Everything else seems to be the same. It is the same. That's a vision. All you have to do is step into it. Make sure everything's lined up right. Once everything, all the details are there, step into it. And watch God do the same yesterday, today, and forever. From questions and answers on the seals, he said, before there was an atom or electrons, or before there was even cosmic light, electrons or anything, He was God. He's the Creator. And that's the only way that you can be eternal, is to receive eternal life. That Greek word there, I think, is Zoe. Isn't that right? Zoe. And then that life God imparts to you. As the Father, your Father imparts His life to you through the marriage vow with the Mother, and by that imparts the joy of imparting, catch me, of the imparting life for a son. And that's the way God does, a joy of imparting His life to a son, see? And then you become part of Him, which is Zoe, God's own life. I give unto you eternal life and raise Him up at the last days. That's the only thing. He got eternal life. And that eternal life knows its body. And it must have to come forth. It's impossible for it just to lay there. Now, brother, that's John 14:12. That's what Sister Hattie Wright did. That's the third pole. She was given power to have done whatever she asked for. She asked for the salvation of her boys. In John 14:13, Jesus said, "You ask, I'll do it." She asked for her sons to be given eternal life, and that's what the third pole is all about, imparting life. There was no squirrel life. Now, there were three manifestations of squirrel life. There was no life in the little fish. His entrails were all pulled out. Now, life imparted to little fish, and away it swam under the power of a new life. Hallelujah. And when you live a sermon, when people see that life in you and they want what you've got, you're imparting life. In fact, if Son of God's seed will produce Son of God, then we're looking at every seed that comes off that Son of God's seed will bear witness to the Son of God's life. That's the greatest work, is imparting life. From Path of Life, Brother Ramson, a man might look like a Christian, he might impersonate a Christian or walk like a Christian and so forth, but unless that germ of life is there, he cannot rise again. Jesus said, I come that they might have life, Zoe, God's own life in them. And there's an everything that had a beginning has an end. It's those things which had not a beginning that has no end. There's only one thing that never had a beginning, and that was God. And we become His children, part of Him, then Zoe, God's own life, eternal life, is imparted to us. And that's the only way that we can have life. And that's the only way that our lost friends out here, even church members, can ever live again, is because Zoe has been imparted to them, and we become a part. From Revelation chapter 1, Brother Brown said, "He that believeth in me," St. John 14:7, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, do the same works, the greater than and greater than this." Because Christ cannot preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be greater. He could not bring it to them because the Holy Ghost had yet been given. It was still all bottled up in the man. Well, when Jesus Christ came and sacrificed His life, and the Holy Ghost returned, then they could impart eternal life to the people. Whose day? On the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gift of the Holy Ghost shall be given unto you and to your children and to your children's children, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and all of thine offspring with you. That's the greater. But the signs and wonders, Jesus said plainly, Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." How far? All the world. How many? Every creature. Long as the gospel is being preached, these signs shall follow them that believe. And when that becomes a revelation, brother, you're near the kingdom then. And on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Because the man or the woman has ever been in that back desert alone with Moses was, and the revelation of God be made manifest to him through the Holy Ghost, there is nothing can shake him. He's just as sound and solid as he can be, and Satan hates revelation. He don't like it at all. It upsets his plan. And from that day on Calvary, Brother Brown said quite a few things. I'm going to read them to you. Paragraph 54, he said, "Now notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, to cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to the believers. The Holy Ghost was coming and giving into the hands of the church to impart life." That's the purpose. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped and degraded men and women and lifted them into a place to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life. By being the Holy Ghost, by giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers, men who were once unbelievers be made believers and impart spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say to the sick woman laying here, I can pray a prayer of faith and she'll be healed? That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But he said, greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you power not only to raise him up for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Poor, blind, wretched people. How do you miss that? Don't you see what the greater thing is? That's the greatest thing that could ever happen, was to impart eternal life to people. In paragraph 56. What is eternal life? The life that he lived. The life that was in him. Impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained. Now here's where the Catholic Church and many of the others made their big mistake. They go out and they say, well, I forgive your sins. That wasn't it. How did they get sins forgiven in the Bible? Peter answered that question on the day of Pentecost. They said, What can we do to be saved? How can we get this that you all got? And he laid down the prescription. He told them what to do. He said, repent. That means to change your way of life, your way of thinking. Repent, every one of you, towards God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of your sins. There's the greater works. You were an old creature, and now you're a new creation. Therefore, whatever was in the old is no longer there. You are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear, we shall manifest in the same glory, in the same dosa, in the same opinions, in the same values, and in the same judgment. And then when people see you, they see him. Hallelujah. Show us the Father and it will suffice. Have I been so long with you? And you don't know me. Mm-hmm. When you see me, you see the Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand what Christmas is all about. That it is the imparting of life. And knowing, as your prophet said, the bride, here's a secret. She has a word. And she knows what to do with that word. And she will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. Imparting life. And he said, when the squeeze begins, he said that third pole, which is imparting life, that'll come out and be manifested among the true sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Father, for these words. Be with us, Lord, as we continue our day in celebrating the wonderful time when you came forth and you brought forth a manifestation of your own life in the body of your Son, Jesus. And then he lived that life in such a way to give us all the understanding of what it means to be a real, genuine Son of God. And then he imparted his life that was in him on the day of Pentecost. We've received a portion, Lord. And now that life is growing up in us, and word is being piled upon word upon word. It is taking hold of every fiber of our body, and it's bringing our bodies into obedience to our confession. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This coming Wednesday, there will be no service. Next Saturday is the 31st. It's not the first weekend. That's not the first Saturday of the month, but it's the 31st. It's the last of the year. And instead of having a watch night service that we take it past midnight where the drunks come out and all that, we'll just have a regular communion service at 7 o'clock next Saturday night. And so just be praying that the Lord will be with us. And just pray for Brother Peter, Sister
Diane. They wanted to be with us so much today, but she had a bad day yesterday. Pray that they'll be able to make it down next week. All right. God bless you.